Robin McCarron.
Should we begin with the puking, or should we begin with the topics that will change the face of WWE forever?
Jeff Hawkins.
We are not here to talk about Curtis Hughes.
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Nobody's listening for hockey talk.
Scientists are actually preoccupied with accomplishment, so they are focused on whether they can do something. They never stop to ask if they should do something. Michael Crichton, Jurassic Park. Do you like wrestling? Well, the WWE is going to give you plenty of it because you're getting an hour extra on Tuesdays, in addition to an extra half hour on Mondays. Hell in the Cell, Raw, SmackDown. I went to NXT on Sunday. It was a lot of fun. Maybe we'll talk about that. And very special guest star. New phone. Who dis? Well,
I don't get it.
Okay, never mind. It was a meme from two
years
ago.
I don't get it.
Okay.
What?
Rob McCarron's here. What the hell? You're back. Daddy's home. And the Cubs just scored.
Did they really?
Twice. Yeah, they just scored.
So can we talk about how we've been trying to record this show for 2 hours?
Sure. We can go a little off topic real quick. Yeah, you say, oh, I'll be available to record at 6. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no way, because you're gonna wanna watch the baseball. And then I figure, okay, the Cubs go up big, so there's no way Cleveland's coming back. And then they do. And then you go, man, I hope it rains. And then there's a rain delay.
Yep.
The only way this game can end is with the rapture. That's the perfect ending to this game. Just cut it off. Even just take that run off the board and let's just go with the rapture right now. And we'll all be happy. I can't. It's 9:21. I should have been in bed 3 hours ago. How are you, Rob? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. You're just being very quiet, and it is a podcast, so you need to talk.
Oh, is that? I forgot how this works. I haven't been around.
And they walk to load the bases. Okay.
Bases are, yeah, so we tried to record this. I planned poorly because there was game 7. So I planned poorly, but here we are. Rain delay, top of the 10th. Eerie'd out of my mind, eared out of my, whatever it is. Very eerie tweet going around the Twitters today. Someone from 2014 predicting a Cubs-Indians World Series tied in extras in Game 7, and that's when the world would end. So they were right on. Congrats to them. This Cubs-Indians World Series is getting quite the Twitter buzz for a baseball game here. Going nuts, watching that. So we are recording this. It is Thursday where I am. It is Wednesday where you are. I wanted to talk to you about the LA NXT show you went to.
Okay.
Because you got to see Kota Ibushi versus Bobby Roode.
Yes, I did.
How was that? A match that apparently might make TV as well.
It's a pretty good match. You know, Bobby Roode wanted to put on a show, and Kota was Kota. Kota Ibushi is in pure sports entertainment mode, going at about 50%. And he's, you know, if you've seen what he does on NXT in the Dusty Tag Classic tonight, you saw what he does in matches. He didn't pull out anything extra for us, but it was still entertaining and still solid, I thought.
Well, that's good. I mean, just the fact that you saw him, like Shinsuke Nakamura is.
Yeah.
Pretty infamous for doing the same thing. Like just being on the show is special enough. Going out there and putting on the best match ever is not necessary.
Yeah, you got to remember though. I saw him pulling out the stops for. There's a couple more runs, so this game will probably be over. the thing is, I saw him at the WWN Super Show pulling out all the stops. So watching this, I was thinking, well, maybe he comes in and does, you know, main event Kota Ibushi. This is sports entertainment Kota Ibushi, and there's nothing wrong with sports entertainment Kota Ibushi.
No,
he's very fun to watch, but you know, you get the setup to the triple jump spot or the triangle moonsault. You get the kicks, you get the hits from Kota, and Bobby was great. I mean, Bobby was hugely over, as were most people, especially PWG alums. But the tag matches they taped were quite underwhelming, I thought. To the point where
I don't really want to discuss too far, because there's like weeks worth of spoilers as we head into Survivor Series weekend. But I mean, the finals of this tournament was a match that we got in a pre-show dark match on a takeover like months ago. And ordinarily I'd be really hyped for one of the teams that's in there, but not so much the other team. I have a feeling though, it's the team that we don't really care for is going to end up taking this. And I'm more excited for the main event. Yeah.
I'm actually angry I missed something on there because of, look, I love NXT. I love going to these shows. Right. Unless I can get an elevated seat somewhere from now on, I'm tired. I can't go to these things and miss stuff anymore because there's no video screen. I missed a certain act that was in for only that show because they were on the other side of the ring and I didn't see it and they never showed up on the other side. So I heard a result of a match. I go, I don't remember that. It was just kind of gobsmacked because I remember a pinfall, but I don't remember what led to the pinfall other than the in-ring action, because I missed a very key element of the match. I was just mad about that. My favorite match of the night, though, was the women's tag. I thought that was spectacular. We got Asuka and Ember Moon versus Peyton Royce and Billie Kay. And Asuka, I don't know what she's doing right now, but this is almost cocky Asuka, who all she does is kicks and, for lack of a better term, butt stuff. she's doing Rikishi's stink face.
Part of me doesn't think you actually tried to find a better term.
I did try to find a better term because I was thinking, well, maybe hip pointers, but no, the whole point is butt stuff. She slaps her butt, she hits people with her butt, and occasionally hard kicks.
Well, speaking of butt stuff, guys, you don't need to choose between price and quality to get an amazing and affordable shave. Oh. DollarShaveClub.com is the answer to prove how amazing their shave really is. Right now, they are going to give you your first month free. Join us at the club, DollarShaveClub.com. Pick a razor that works for you from their lineup of amazing blades. That's all there is to it. Guys, you can go to the Dollar Shave Club right now. DollarShaveClub.com/ropes, to be exact. DollarShaveClub.com. They're so confident in the quality of all their products. You're getting your first month free when you sign up. Just pay shipping. After that, it's just a few bucks a month. No long-term commitment. No hidden fees. There's no reason not to do it. Get yours at the dollarshaveclub.com/ropes. Get your first month free. dollarshaveclub.com/ropes. That's dollarshaveclub.com/ropes. Amazing razors right to your door. A third of the price of what the greedy razor corporations charge. You can shave. If you're staying up all night to watch this Cubs game, you're probably going to need to shave tomorrow. dollarshaveclub.com/ropes. That is what you were missing with me being off of the show for the last several weeks, Jeff, is those awesome segues and only one or two mistakes while reading lines.
Oh, yeah. And what you get from me is incorrect codes, because that's what he gave me.
Yes, I give you the correct codes. Jeff takes you to 404 landing pages.
It's not my fault. I was just reading what was on the page, literally.
Oh, my God. So you are giving me these live updates from this Cubs-Indians game where you make it sound like the Cubs have scored like four runs.
They've scored three or two, I think.
All right, so it's 9-6.
It's 8-6. I can't read. Right, well, I'm looking at it like a 30-degree angle, so I can't really. I just know they've scored a couple runs here, and they made a pitching
change. All right. So you went to NXT in LA. That's pretty cool. It was the first real trip of NXT to the West Coast, I believe. I know they went to Sacramento for like a music festival last year, but this is like their first real trip.
Other than the WrestleMania, the road trip for house shows.
It felt like a real PWG. A lot of people who normally post about going to PWG seemed like they were there at that show too.
Yes, that would be correct. That was kind of the vibe here. I mean, we were at the Hollywood Palladium, a venue I'm intimately involved with, or used to be, because I used to have to go there every Sunday. My church would actually rent it out. I was doing stuff. So I know the Hollywood Palladium backwards and forwards. So I found it interesting. They're going to be setting up a wrestling venue in it. It was nice, but it was packed to the gills in general admission, and the seats you know, and the seats were packed. I mean, there were, I'd say there are 3,000 to 3,500 total in there, which is a good house. They used the venue, as I said, very interesting, because the spoiler that I was alluding to earlier came in from the back through the crowd and nobody even noticed. So it was one of those cool things to hide. We got a Regal appearance and we did get some clunkers in there. I mean, we did get a Mandy Rose Daria match that, Daria should just shoot on Mandy and just make it actually real from now on, because trying to fake it isn't working.
Yeah, she can't be in the ring with a superstar like Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose is ready. Mandy Rose is ready for Raw.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You should be the first one to work both shows.
You know what? The opener was hot too. We got Roddy versus No Way Jose, and that was pretty good. I wouldn't be surprised.
Roddy Strong.
If that made TV, I wouldn't be surprised. Strong. Yeah.
I hope it does. Roderick Strong could use a win, you know, on television, because didn't work out for him so well, as people will see, I believe, tonight, actually. And I didn't watch the NXT show tonight, obviously, because I was watching this this Cubs thing.
I watched it.
It's game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah, I watched it while I was listening on audio, kind of, or keeping track on my phone of the game. But you didn't miss much. It was a lot of non-matches or non-tag matches, so to speak. So just to set up the semifinals, which come up.
This brings us into this week's NXT Power Rankings. We do this every week, guys, on the show. The NXT Power Rankings, ranking the top 3.5 things going on currently in the weeks on NXT television. This week's number 3 is Roderick Strong, the debut of Roderick Strong. We haven't gotten a chance to talk about how his debut came off on NXT TV. Obviously, now his tag team partner, Austin Aries, is hurt. Broken orbital bone, having surgery, out for a few months. Austin Aries, a guy who was in a feud with Hideo Itami, Hideo Itami is also out. I would have thought that Hideo Itami and Kota Ibushi teaming up, they might have played a role in Roderick Strong and Austin Aries, maybe them clashing during this tournament at some point. Alas, it was not to be. Hideo Itami out, Austin Aries out. But what'd you make of Roderick Strong's debut, and are you hyped for some Roderick Strong singles action here in NXT?
I think once he's more well-known, he'll get better reactions. I think the reaction was a little underwhelming, but at the same time, I want to expect a lot of people to have known him. I expect people to know him, but not, you know, to have the, oh my God, he's here kind of thing. I think his mouth is going to serve him quite well, much like Aries' mouth has served him in NXT.
Yeah, I believe you're right. I believe he'll get the people into it. Do you think that maybe there's something to the fact that the NXT fans are just so used now to seeing stars that it's not like when one star shows up, it's an oh my God moment. It's just like, okay, here's the next star to show up.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of fatigue there in terms of indie stars, because I mean, it's like, okay, he showed up, but it's not there's no real big deals out there. After, I mean, you know, it's kind of like
there's one.
Well, there's a few. Don't get me wrong, there's a few, but I mean,
and it's by one, like, I mean two.
They've gone from Nakamura to Roddy Strong, and that's, you know, that's not a bad thing. It's just one of those things. And I think the Full Sail crowd is changing a little bit as NXT has gotten more popular. You're getting, you know, people who are catching up on the network rather than just hardcore indie fans, so to speak. So I think there are casuals who may have never seen Roddy Strong in ROH or anywhere else for that matter. So they may not have known who he was, quite frankly.
I mean, realistically, short of, you know, Kazuchika Okada showing up or like Tanahashi, a major United States star.
Or the Briscoes.
Even a United States star. Yeah, the Briscoes showing up. You know, you got the Young Bucks out there. That would be a pretty cool moment. But, you know, after Samoa Joe showed up and all the big names were coming in for one-off appearances, like Bobby Roode wasn't even like an oh my God thing. It's just like, okay, that seems fitting. You know, these guys showing up are natural now. It's something that people expect. A year ago, the Young Bucks showing up would have been an, oh my God, you know, holy crap moment. Now it's like, oh yeah, we expected you to show up eventually.
Well, yeah, and it's conditioning, I think. I think, you know, you got to get people out there in front of the audiences a couple times, and then people will learn how to react to the people. That's all it is, really.
Number one in the NXT Power Rankings, Mickie James is back. Mm-hmm. Mickie James is going to wrestle at NXT TakeOver Toronto against Asuka in a women's championship match. And it is cool that I think they're bringing in these, you know, one-off appearances to make like a special attraction here at the TakeOvers. I think that's actually pretty cool. I hope they continue doing it. They've done it a few times here in the past. But Mickie James is one of those where she's, I believe, respected amongst WWE fans. There's no one else in that division right now for Asuka. This is a cool one-off match. She's not going to win or anything, but I believe it helps the show. It helps the women's division, and it gives them more time to build up someone else for Asuka at the start of 2017.
Agree. I mean, there's nothing I can really add to that. Asuka is in a holding period unless they bring her up. This is going to be her place, and there's nothing wrong with that. If her role is to build up people until they can get, you know, the Stardom girls or whoever up, people that they want up to speed. You know, I have no problem with this. Everybody I want that's out there, you know, are under contract elsewhere. You know, I'd love a Gail Kim Asuka match, but I'm not going to get that anytime soon unless TNA finally goes broke.
All right. Well, it's the thoughts that everyone's been waiting for since we were last together, Jeff.
Hell in the Cell.
It's our WWE No Mercy thoughts.
Oh, jeez.
The main event, of course, of No Mercy was Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt.
You're really Jeffy going thoughts. All the way back. No, I'm not going all the way back to No Mercy.
I don't remember. I remember two matches from that show. Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, in which Luke Harper returned. And the opener was the three-way, correct? Where AJ Styles retained his championship, pinning John Cena. John Cena doing jobs, and now he's nowhere to be seen.
I'll do the quick hit. I like the triple threat. I thought Dolph and Miz should have ended the show, and I was disappointed that Becky couldn't do the big match with Alexa.
There you go. Don't worry, guys. We're not actually doing
no
mercy thoughts, and nor are we going to do Hell in a Cell thoughts.
I want to do one thought on it. I want to ask you this
question.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to ask you this question. The best match on WWE Hell in a Cell was what?
Sasha and Charlotte, I thought.
100%. 100% that was the best match. I understand if people like other matches on that show. That's great. And I understand if you think that some other match was better. But to call Sasha Banks and Charlotte boring or anything under than average, I think would be a huge mistake. I think people are reading into botches that weren't actually botches and trying to justify why it wasn't that great. It's crazy to me. That main event was perfectly fitting. I enjoyed it. You know, Charlotte wins, and that was kind of a bummer. It would have been a cool moment had Sasha won, but it's not like Charlotte winning was horrible or a disaster by any means.
Oh, I don't know. I'll go into that in a moment. But I think you know what? I think people are undervaluing this because the crowd gave up on this show because it was just too long at that point. And it went and was going, you know, it was nearing 4 hours, which, you know, it's like, come on, guys, let's wrap this up. I mean, everybody was tired at that point, but as for the match, it was solid. I liked it, but I do think the wrong person went over, and I think it's bad for the division. I know that they're trying to do kind of the Ronda Rousey template with Charlotte here. The problem is this streak that is now in canon, so to speak, because everybody's saying, well, you know, whoever breaks that streak, be it Charlotte or Bayley, then gets the rub that way. But here's the problem with that. They're both part of the streak. So it's now going to be anticlimactic. If it's either of them, it has to be someone new who breaks a streak to make it feel special. And now you've had Sasha lose titles of, what, 2 week and 3 week reigns. You needed to build an equal to Charlotte in this division because now you have the same storyline between Sasha and Bayley as the people who can't get it done when it matters. And it's going to be a fight to see who finally gets the quote unquote big win. I think I you know what, there are ways around this, but I think for an overall strong division, I think Sasha needed a big moment at either WrestleMania or Hell in the Cell as a strong champion so that the overall division would be better off for it. But their template is one star who's very dominant, and then whoever beats that star when the lights are brightest, that'll be a quote-unquote big deal. And I kind of disagree with that thinking.
I I think Charlotte as the champion right now is perfectly fine. Now, if they move on to Bayley, it makes sense. I mean, they've traded back and forth wins with Sasha Banks here lately. One of the things that I took issue with, though, with those saying that they keep trading the title too much, is they've done this before with, you know, plenty of other championships, and not all of them end up poorly. Sometimes you trade the titles because both people are so good.
Well, right? You can't.
And
you,
I think they've made
it. But that's
it,
not how they're doing it. That's not how they're doing it, though. They've already mentioned that Sasha is injury prone. They've already undercut her on television, yeah. And they've also now rebooted Bayley again. If you okay. Notice they made her, nope. They made her the fangirl from week one who doesn't belong in on the main roster when she already has a pinfall on Raw and from Battleground.
They've done exactly what they said they couldn't do and exactly what we said they shouldn't do is just act as if she, well, and it's a bigger problem now that they've actually waited a couple of months after her debuting on TV.
Yes.
She's day one of NXT trainee again. And you can't do that again. The same groundswell of support that helped her out in NXT is not just going to all of a sudden organically happen again.
I agree. I think they're taking her popularity for granted. I think they just assumed she'd be over because she was over in NXT. And I you know what? They've dropped the ball on this whole thing in order to keep Charlotte strong. And I understand why they're doing it. I just don't. The reasoning is just baffling to me. It really is, because you've gone from having four hot commodities that were getting mainstream press to one and three who have lost their luster in the horsewomen.
I don't like the fact that, you know what? It's okay to me that they're playing up that Sasha Banks is injury prone. And when it was a Hell in a Cell match, they have to explain why she lost. You know, you can do the story of when she's healthy, she's the best.
Right.
But she's not always healthy. And whereas Charlotte's, you know, a monster in a way, she's, you know, genetically gifted. She's got this strong background and she isn't injury prone. So that's why she wins these championships. It creates a story you can tell longer and maybe even more meaningful matches down the road. Problem is if she just goes away and now it's Bayley up there and Bayley's losing to Nia Jax, yet Bayley somehow is the one involved in the program with Charlotte. That makes zero sense. You have this Survivor Series match where they're going to do Team Raw's women versus Team SmackDown's women. So they have a month to go before they have to reboot the division. You know, who's going to fill out this Team Raw? You got Charlotte, Nia Jax, and Bayley on this team. You're going to have, what, one or two more? Two more, I think you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to fill it out? Is Sasha Banks going to be involved in it? Is she out for good until they go into December?
Well, I think she worked her house here tonight. So it's going to be Sasha and Emma, I think.
Yeah, I think Emma.
I don't think they're putting Alicia. I don't think they're putting Alicia Fox on this team.
Who else they got? Who else they got? Can they bring back, someone like a Trish Stratus for one night? No, they can't.
They could put Asuka on the team.
I believe Trish is having a baby.
Yes, that's why she's not working. That's not why she's not working Toronto NXT. So,
Santino Marella. Santino Marella is from the area.
Carmella and Alexa are great. That promo, I loved that entire segment on SmackDown. I did. I think
no sell job there.
Yeah, because I'm moving on because there's nothing for me to say. I've said my piece. You've said yours.
You are a radio pro, sir. You are a radio pro.
I was told to stop goofing around on the air. So
wait, what?
Someone said, I'm tired of you laughing all the time. It's like, okay, I'll be Mr. Serious. So I'll be Mr. Serious.
I need one person. More laughter. You don't laugh enough.
Alicia Fox would be the fifth if it's not Emma. Unless they brought back Paige by some miracle.
What if Emma is both of the remaining slots?
You know
Emma
what?
Emmalina is the other.
I could see them doing that stupid Santino and drag gimmick. Just for shits and giggles.
I could see them too. That was only half of a joke, Jeff.
I know. That's the scary part is I just go, oh God, they could do something like that. I stand by my statement that Alexa Bliss and Carmella have been great the past 2 weeks. Absolutely phenomenal.
Right. Oh, sure. 8-6 Cubs. Carl Edwards Jr. on the hill to save it.
8-7.
Close it out just as God intended. Oh, no.
Yep.
my MLB app is a little bit behind.
Cleveland just
scored. Wow. Okay. 7. Well, anyway, this Survivor Series is still, 4 weeks away, and we have a semblance of a card here, a pretty full one, with a couple of matches here to be thrown in. Mm-hmm. This pay-per-view, going 4 hours again? So they'll probably have 10 matches on the main show, a couple pre-show matches. What do you make of this Dolph Ziggler challenge to the Raw roster? It looks like we're going to have an interpromotional match here for the Intercontinental title. Dolph Ziggler, who challenges from the Raw side?
Rusev. Maybe Rusev. Yeah, Rusev and Dolph. I could see that happening.
That'd be a sick match.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I'd be okay with that. And then I think on the other side, Roman's on the team, so maybe he drops the belt before Survivor Series and you get an interpromotional match that way against Miz.
Yeah, because it's strange that we're not going to have any world title match on the show.
Right.
Because they're all on Team Raw and SmackDown. So this is basically, what was the paper Battleground? And what was it before? There was the pay-per-view where they did Raw versus SmackDown. Bragging rights. Survivor Series has turned into bragging rights, Jeff. That can't be a win.
No, I don't.
Oh,
no.
Boy.
And it's brand pride. It's not like any of these guys are getting it. I mean, I wish they'd each have individual motives for being on this team other than brand pride. That's the problem I have with the whole thing, because nobody cares other than Vince about brand pride. That's the thing. And look, he made a move today, I think, to help protect Raw a hell of a lot more as a flagship show. That whole 205 show that they're putting on, it's because they dropped the ball with the cruiserweights.
We'll get back to the Survivor Series card as it shows up right now. 205 Live is going to be a Tuesday night show live on WWE Network. Basically, what Main Event was, their Tuesday night live stream on WWE Network. It's the Cruiserweight Classic, effectively. It's the Cruiserweights all in an hour-long show. Part of it, I think, is because they dropped the ball on Raw. The other part is I think Cruiserweight Classic did well enough that they thought this was an easy one-hour idea for the network to kind of, draw a live crowd, draw a destination crowd here. I think this will be a fine show. I think it'll be a fine show. Nothing wrong with it. What's the hate?
The hate is that is a long night for anybody because they're still taping what, Superstars or Main Event before SmackDown. You get SmackDown. Then you get 205, and this crowd is going to die for these matches. Listen, and then these guys are just going to get called geeks because they can't get an audience reaction.
I think it'll end up, it's not going to end up a live show. It's going to be taped before SmackDown and air on a couple hours delay. Maybe not at first, but it'll eventually do that. It'll eventually be like Main Event, because Main Event started out the same way, where they taped it after SmackDown and it was a disaster. So I believe that's what'll end up happening. But I'm not talking about the crowd reactions because of a long night for them. I'm not talking about the extra hour of WWE TV. Those are all negatives. Yes, I'm talking about the show itself. I think the show itself will be okay. I would much rather have them, though, use the time they have for WWE TV already more wisely.
Yes.
I would much rather them, use them on Raw like you were telling us you were going to do.
You have three and a half.
Have this extra hour show.
Yes, you have 3.5 hours. Are you telling me that you can't? And the Cubs win.
Celebrate.
Okay, now we can concentrate on the time. Show.
So yeah.
Look, you can't tell me that 3.5 hours a week is not enough time to adequately run stories. And we need this extra hour on SmackDown because that's where the goodwill was with Mauro. And it's ridiculous. And now they're moving back talking smack, which probably means much like, Saturday Night Live, they're going to tweak it. They're going to edit it a bit. They're going to take away what was magical a little bit about the spontaneity of it. And they're adding talking Raw or whatever the hell this thing is, Raw Talk, because we need an extra half hour on Raw to get these guys over, because 3+ hours isn't nearly enough time, Rob McCarron. It's not enough time. And plus, look at what it's done for that crew. But there's a reason it's done well for that crew. It's because people like Daniel Bryan. What, you're going to have Foley come on there? Have you seen him interview people? Did you watch the Shane McMahon podcast? This is This is just, everything just seems like he's watching SmackDown get all this buzz and he's going, I got to protect Raw somehow because, you know, whatever reason, because it's the flagship. Are you going to have Stephanie interviewing people on there? That thing's going to be cringeworthy if it's Stephanie. It's just, all of this is just poor planning and poor foresight and just kind of reactionary. And it's frustrating because I have to cover the WWE every week. And as we were talking about, we barely have enough time to watch everything now. I don't have all this time to watch an extra hour and a half a week of stuff for the show. Are we going to get a talking NXT show after NXT now? Are we? And we got the Women's Classic coming up and pay-per-views every other week. It's too much. Use your time better. Don't make more time. This is the golden corral of wrestling right now. It's a lot of food, and everybody thinks it's great to have a buffet, but you go there, and it's a middling quality, and if you have to go there time after time, you're eventually going to get tired of it. Even with a chocolate fountain. Have I ranted?
That should be the title belt for the Cruiserweight show.
God, it's just like, oh, we're getting more product. More product will be better. We'll just flood the market. We'll continue flooding the market and hope that our fan base. I compared it to the, or I referenced the Freddie Prinze anecdote from Vince, Freddie Prinze is on the plane watching a Richard Pryor special, and Vince looks at him and goes, "Why are you doing that?" He goes, "Well, I wanted to watch some comedy." He goes, "You can have all the entertainment you need on the WWE Network. Go watch a WrestleMania. That has comedy in it." It's like, he really thinks that this is all the entertainment you need.
Now, oh, God. Is it a fact that he really thinks that like 100%, or is he trying to be a salesman and selling it like, you know, because that's a sales tactic, right? Why would you go somewhere else? What I offer is everything you need.
Okay, I'm going to back off just a tiny bit. I think he thinks that his fan base is so loyal that they want more product, and that more product will then bring in other viewers from the outside if they just diversify this more product some way. The problem is the more product is presented in the same way, no matter the weight, no matter the division, no matter the variety. It's all the same style of stuff and same presentation of stuff with the hard sell and the verbiage, and there's no real change up in styles between shows. And it's poor planning overall. There's no variety because he thinks the WWE product was always superior to other products. So I think it's a little column A, column B.
I don't see it lasting. I don't see the 205 show lasting, because I'm trying to figure out what benefit it has for anything.
It's a long day for guys, too. They have to get at the arena early afternoon, and then they got to be there an extra 2 hours at least for taping these shows. Extra flights. The Cruiserweights are going to be working both shows. They're going to be flying all over the place now that Raw and SmackDown no longer tape close to one another.
Yeah, I mean,
more injuries.
Who already signed up to, unless you're thinking that so many people signed up for the network and then left when the Cruiserweight Classic ended, so now you have to have this Cruiserweight show to bring them back. There's no TV revenue in it. There's not that many added purchases of the WWE network. It's a longer show. It wears out your audience more. I'm trying to feel the benefit of it because you can do everything you want to do on this 205 live show on Raw in the time you already have.
I think it's cynical cloying kind of thing to say, okay, our network fan base is what made the CWC popular, so we're going to give them their CWC show, and hopefully that popularity then ports over to Raw. Because that's what
Speaking
was
of
missing.
Raw, yeah. Speaking of Raw, I think Rusev versus Dolph Ziggler is a good guess. I don't really see too many other options to be facing Dolph, and Rusev has nothing to do right now. I mean, Roman Reigns is moving on to the Team Raw main event. So I like the idea of Rusev. I like it. Unless Rusev ends up, some way being the last guy on Team Raw. I think that's a good pick. Obviously you have the main event. The match I would assume is going to main event the show. just because you have no world title matches. Brock Lesnar Goldberg. We haven't been able to talk much about the Goldberg stuff. I think he's been excellent in his appearances so far. He's been much more than what I expected. The crowd reactions have been much better than I expected. I'm still a little nervous for Toronto itself, but Goldberg has so far been a win.
His promos have been excellent. I've said that on the last two shows.
He's also, it's funny because he's trying to be like a cool dad now. It's obvious he's out there trying to entertain his son and be a cool guy for his son, and it's working so far. Well, he's unlike most like cool dad wannabes.
He's learned charisma, and I think this terrible podcast he had for a while, and I think just talking to people and having to actually interact with the public actually has helped that quite a bit. I mean, he's been great, but the physicality.
Yeah, he's not trying to be a machine. Like it used to be where Bill Goldberg was this machine. He went out there and did his work and didn't talk and yada, yada, yada. He's a real guy now. He's an older guy, but he's out there to prove it one last time. It's a whole different character, and it's a character more like himself.
That said, that physical altercation, whew, there's some ring rust there, brother. And we've already been kind of doubting, you know, the match 16 years ago wasn't very, or 14 years ago wasn't very good. He needs some work. He needs to start cramming now. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'm nervous for, like I said, I'm nervous for Toronto. I don't know if they're going to go out there and be the main event. I don't know how you go out there with Goldberg and Brock Lesnar and do 10 minutes, let alone the 15 to 20.
Stipulation. They have to add a stipulation to this. It has to be like extreme rules. It has to be garbage. You have to have smoke and mirrors somehow, right? I would think so.
If you're going to go that long, yeah. I just don't see them going that long. I don't know. Maybe you do main event the show with Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. Maybe you do that.
Maybe
you put it there second to last. Maybe you put it there at the end of the third hour if this is a four-hour show.
Hmm.
We got this Team Raw versus Team SmackDown tag team elimination match, which has way too many people in it. It's 10 versus 10, which is nuts.
Yeah, but we've seen this before. 10 versus 10, which is nuts. We've seen this before in the late 80s.
It doesn't matter. It's still nuts. I mean, 20 guys on the ringside area. That's a lot.
20 guys who don't matter. None of these teams matter. Come on now.
Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley, big stars.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Heath Slater and Rhino leading the team, big stars.
Yeah.
This is what SmackDown is now. This is what Raw is now. I don't even know who's going to make up the Raw teams because you eliminated the Primo and Epico, right? You eliminated them.
Oh, no. This is easy. Enzo and Cass, The New Day, Gallows and Anderson. Mm-hmm. Cesaro and Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who's the wild card? Who's the one I'm missing here?
Mm-hmm. Who is it?
I can't think of who else is in this tag team division right now, and people are probably yelling at their speakers trying to tell me. You tell me who's another team. They may just end up putting Primo and Epico in there again.
I guess you could do that. Oh, Gold Dust and R-Truth.
Oh, there it is. Golden Truth. It's exactly it.
We got into Team Raw versus Team SmackDown on the women's side for just a brief moment. I don't know. I don't know if Sasha Banks ends up being on the team, but it seems likely, I guess, just because you got to fill, 10 women in there and Sasha Banks is a big star. You shouldn't keep her off Survivor Series. But you have Dana Brooke. You have Dana Brooke available. You have Alicia Fox available. You have other names. You have Emma. You have Emelina coming soon. Lana's always there. Lana's always out there.
Man.
You got names. And then Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, the main events, the world champions, their best friends, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, blah, blah, blah. Sami Zayn. You got Braun Strowman in this main event tag team match. Maybe Sami Zayn is the fifth guy on Team Raw, but it seems like his program with Braun Strowman kind of went nowhere fast.
It's Rollins, I think, the fifth guy.
Oh, yeah, Rollins. No, obviously Rollins has to be the fifth guy. I'm just saying with Sami Zayn, Sami Zayn and Braun Strowman, was it all leading up to Sami Zayn losing that battle royal? Is this going to be a December pay-per-view match? Which I don't even know what the December pay-per-view is for them. It's Roadblock is the one. Then you have what, TLC?
TLC is SmackDown, though. So
TLC SmackDown. So Roadblock is the Raw side. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. They did two Roadblocks this year. So what you're going to get is you're going to get a series of matches with Sami Zayn and Braun Strowman, where Braun Strowman continually gets wins, maybe by like countouts or by cheating or whatever. And he continues, it continues, it continues. And then Sami pulls out a banana slip on a banana peel win. And then Braun destroys him and moves on to whatever the next feud is. Probably Roman with our luck.
The Survivor Series, man.
It's going to be a long show with a lot of, I mean, you're going to have those four matches, and those aren't going to take up 4 hours. So you're going to have a lot of filler here, and you're going to have the Intercontinental title match. You'll probably have to find some other matches in there. I don't know how. Oh, you're going to have the cruiser. You're probably going to have a cruiserweight Survivor Series.
I would think so. I would think that you would have one of those. Yes. And that'll be, I mean, think about that. Especially if it's 5-on-5, maybe it's 4-on-4. That'd be some battle. That might be one of the more fun matches on the show.
That'll open the show, and it'll get the crowd hot, and it'll be a lot of spots. It'll be the opening hour of Nitro type of match. It'll be fine, and it'll be the usual suspects. You'll have on one side, you'll have, let's see, Perkins, Swan. Cedric Alexander, Lindsay Dorado, and maybe Kota Ibushi. Maybe Kota comes in for the special one there. How about that? That'll make it special. And then you get, Kendrick, Nice, Gulak, Prince Ali, and, someone else.
Jack Gallagher?
No. No. It has to be a heel.
Okay.
Gallagher's not working
here. Right. Hey, you never know. You never know, but that's
Survivor Daivari. Series. They'll put Daivari in there.
There you go.
Daivari can get beat. Yeah.
Arya Daivari. Yeah, sure. You can do that. You know, it's an interesting show, I guess. You know, it all depends on how Brock Lesnar Goldberg goes, honestly.
Yeah.
It's an interesting show.
It's a one match show with a lot of hyperbole about a stupid brand split, brand war, brand pride that nobody cares about. Everybody's going to be watching for that one match to see if it's a train wreck.
And you got TakeOver the night before. Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura. It's a hyped weekend. What do you make of the news that at WrestleMania next year, the NXT show is going to be on the Saturday now, with Hall of Fame being on Friday?
Sucks for me. I bought WWN tickets and I like to go to the NXT shows, but I don't like it. I liked the day break between NXT and WrestleMania. It gives NXT kind of that special time to bask in the glow of a good show. Usually, I mean, this will, as soon as NXT is over, you're like, okay, next for Mania. And also the NXT show goes so late usually that, you want that day to rest a bit. And the Hall of Fame is kind of a low key event that, for lack of a better term, you can sleep through if you have to.
It was skippable.
That, I didn't want to say that, but yeah, it's skippable. Yeah. You have a break. Yeah.
You had a break, and that's crazy for WWN too. I mean, Evolve running that night now against NXT, which they probably didn't expect.
Well, the Super Show, WrestleCon Super Show moved to Friday to avoid that.
Did they?
Now?
Okay. Yeah.
So maybe WWN will do the same thing. I doubt it, but maybe they do. I think it's too much. I think it's too much in a too compact a time. I liked it a little spread out over the 3 days.
So we are getting more close to normality around here.
Normality.
I know it is normality. It's not normalcy. Normalcy, not a word, everybody.
You made up another word in one of your preambles to one of my shows. I forgot what it was, but I love this gimmick. I love your gimmick of just making up words on the fly.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much making up words on the fly or failing to get words correct.
Yeah, I was going for the more positive of the two, Rob.
I thank you for being positive. I've gotten all the studio equipment to the new house, to the new homestead, but I haven't set it all up yet. But we are getting closer to getting back to full strength. So that's good news for you and hopefully good news for the people out there.
Are you getting closer to eating a hat? Because people are bugging me about this. They're still bugging me about the hat.
I don't exactly know what everyone means by that. I don't know what they're referring to. I suppose I'll look into it and figure it out. Other than that, that's kind of the update on the whole situation. But yes, it was good to be back on a call with you, Mr. Hawkins, Superstar Hawkins. People were emailing me saying, "Hey, you know, maybe you should just let him talk more. He's pretty good at this whole thing." And I was replying, "LOL, no."
Well, look, if you listen to the shows, which it sounds like you didn't, which ticks me off, but
how dare you?
Because you brought up points I brought up on the shows that I was just like, did you not listen to what I was saying? No, I started off very succinctly saying I don't like doing solo shows all that much because I like having time to organize thoughts and to have a conversation with someone rather than just kind of rambling, which I did a little bit. And you keep a tight ship, so I like having the twosome here. And I was ready to replace you this week if you couldn't do it, not permanently, but just for a week, and go, look, I need someone to talk to. I can't just be talking into empty space.
the threat of replacing me is what got me back here. I mean, like, oh my god, I've run out of wiggle room here. I have to come back on game 7 of the World Series, no less.
Well, it's 10:05 my time. I'm going to get 4 hours of sleep for work. So let's end this. Or do we want to do the top 100 match?
No, next week.
Oh God. I've been plugging it for 3 weeks in the other neighborhood. And we're not
next week.
Do it.
Next week, we'll get back to the top 100. Next week, I may even divulge what number 2 on this week's NXT power rankings were. But I have a flight to Austin to prepare for, so we'll see you next time.